Blog Talk Radio.
But the bills keep coming. Financial strategies when money is tight. On today's Your Personal Finance.
Troubles, which bills should you pay first? Here are some guidelines.
pay your rent and mortgage, then your utility bills and insurance. When it comes to your car loan or lease, miss a payment and you'll hear from the lender or leaser within 10 days. But if you don't pay up after 60 days, expect the company to take measures to have your car repossessed. With credit cards, if you don't make the minimum payment within 5 days of the due date, expect form letters every couple of weeks requesting payment. If you don't make a payment, they will suspend your charge privileges. Keep in mind, car loans and credit card payment histories will be reported to the credit bureau and will impact your ability to get future loans. It's always wise to try to work out a repayment schedule in advance. For your personal finance, I'm Charles Ross.
And welcome to the inaugural edition of Your Personal Finance with Dr. Charles Ross. Thank you all for everybody tuning in. Had some technical difficulties at the beginning. That's where we're a little late, but glad we're here. If you're listening, you can call in and ask questions. Our number is 516-387-1554. That's 516-387-1554. So before I get into discussing how to manage your finances during this pandemic, I want to just address a couple of things that might just be on people's mind. One is, you know, what's going on now is a lot of fear that's going on. And, you know, fear is designed, defined as an uneasy feeling, a feeling of dread, a feeling of an alarm warning us, feeling threatened by something. And some of the synonyms for fear that I think will resonate with a lot of people is anxiety, dread, panic, scare, terror, worry. And some of it is very rightly founded because there's a lot of misinformation going on out there. In one of our forays today, going out, we have a shelter in place warning for the state of Georgia, but you can go out and get groceries. So we went to Sam's, and you know there was a line to get into Sam's, and just about every other person had on some type of face covering, whether it was a mask, whether it was a bandana, or something to that effect. And some people were wearing gloves. You know, I'm 62 years old, and I've never seen anything like this. And so a lot of people are rightly so are frightened, and rightly so you should be a little bit, because it's something we're not used to seeing in our lifetime. But one of the things that gives me some comfort in this time is when you have to turn to your scriptural and spiritual roots. And I went to Isaiah 41, the 41st chapter, the 10th through 13th verses. And I'll just deal with the 13th verse. It says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." I keep that kind of, you know, in my mind as all these things come out and you hear about these deaths. I've had a cousin of 81 years old in New York City that just passed away yesterday in complications from the coronavirus. And that hit home. My wife has a best friend whose husband is in a hospital now, what they think is symptoms of the coronavirus. And I'm sure you've heard about other stories about other people, coworkers, friends, neighbors, loved ones that, you know, maybe it has no respect of persons either, you know, celebrities and even most common people are having. So it goes all up and down the chain. But one of the things that I think that we're called to do during this time is have some courage. And, you know, courage is defined as the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, pain, or even danger. And some of the synonyms for courage is bravery, fearlessness, heroism, tenacity. And obviously we can call heroic our first responders and some of our healthcare workers and others who have to go to work and don't have the pleasure of sitting at home. Even though you might be bored, they have to be exposed because you can't see this thing. I mean, you just don't know. And you hear folks saying that they encountered this virus, they have the symptoms, and they don't know where they got it from. But I'm turning to Acts, the 20th chapter, and this is Paul saying, "And now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." But he still went. And during this time, we just have to have courage. to be able to face what we're on the unknown, because we don't know how long this thing is going to last. They, here in the state of Georgia and around the country, they closed schools for the rest of the year, unprecedented, you know. So it's a very frightening time, but this is the time where we have to muscle up and be a little courage, especially for those who are people that are counting on us. So what should you do with your money? And that's the question that everybody is asking. And I think that the first thing that comes to mind for me is that don't touch it. And when I say that, I mean don't touch it in the sense of hold off on any major purchases. Like if you might be thinking about buying a home, this coming spring is the height of the home buying season. And a lot of people have been looking at homes maybe this past winter or fall or whatever, and now they're ready to buy. And mortgage rates are historic lows. Great time to buy, but now may not be the time to do that, okay? So you might want to put that purchase off. Purchasing a vehicle, now may not be the time to buy that car. And this is because you don't know what the future holds. Before I get a little bit more into this, one of the questions that you need to ask your HR department is that, am I on the list to be furloughed or laid off or fired? As you know, that the president has a $2.2 trillion package, and a lot of small businesses are going to be benefited from that, and you don't know how that's going to pan out. So that's one of the questions that you need to ask HR. They may not tell you, but it's good to ask to see what they say. Okay, so put off purchasing a home, put off purchasing a vehicle, and that deposit that you were perhaps looking at for that trip that you're going, that summer vacation coming up. We're in the height of course, vacations right now. And so some people are looking at that trip, that summer vacation. We have Memorial Day coming up, followed by the 4th of July, Labor Day. And then, of course, we get into Thanksgiving and Christmas. So you might want to put off making a deposit on that trip that you want to make coming up in the next three, six months. I had to postpone. I had a trip. I was going up to Richmond, Virginia to see my daughter graduate from her third college. She's a pharmacist, but she's doing a residency up there. And she's also getting another degree, a master's degree. She's got a doctorate and an undergrad. So you're done with education after this. But anyway, so we were set to go up there on May 8th and participate in all that. And so we had to put that off because of travel. So, but, you know, everyone is feeling that. And so I think now's a good time to consider that to some extent. We got a caller in. Let's see if we can get them on the line. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Okay, I don't hear them being able to connect with us. We'll try again maybe on another time. But anyway, also, this is a time to resist retail therapy. And what I mean by that, well, first of all, you can't go to many retailers because Macy's laid off all its employees and other retailers. If you go to some, if you're driving around to a grocery, get groceries, or to go to a park or something to work out, you'll find parking lots are empty. And that's a real strange thing to kind of see. And so it can make you feel happy in the moment. The Journal of Consumer Psychology says that retail therapy can be good. But now you're at home and you are scrolling and acting on the deals, populating in your phone, because retailers have figured out that, guess what? People are not coming to me. I'm going to come to them. Many of these companies already have strong, you know, websites to facilitate online shopping. But resist buying anything. And what the Journal of Consumer Psychology says is that even though this is a great coping mechanism, window shopping is just as effective. So put those items in your wish list. Put them on your in a list, or maybe in your basket, but don't buy them. And they say that has the same effect of being able to do that. A caller's calling to see if we can get them back on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello, Carl, this is Charlene Lucas.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, this is Charlene Lucas.
That's my daughter. Yes, daughter.
And I was had a hard time logging in, so I don't know if you've already discussed as far as student loan debt and mortgage payments with this financial. Is it beneficial to defer your payments, or should you try to? I know I've gotten emails about forbearance, but I wasn't really trusting that. So I just wanted your opinion.
And that's one. Thank you so much, daughter, for calling in. You're always a loyal supporter of your dad. I appreciate that. And we are going to get to that. You know, if you can hang on for a little bit, but it's a good question, and that's going to be coming up. We're going to be dealing with some other stuff, but that's a great question because a lot of folks out there with student loans, and there's been all kinds of talk in this $2.2 trillion package, coronavirus package, is how they're going to deal with student loans. And I've seen things about they're going to allow for students to eliminate up to $10,000 in debt. But we'll talk about that, you know, towards the end. But thank you so much for calling in. And any other comments you want to make about your dear old dad? How great a dad he is?
I appreciate your wisdom and your financial advice.
But let me just, my daughter, you know, she's my oldest daughter, has a master's in nursing and is an RN, been an RN for what, 10, 12 years now?
Yes, 10 years.
10 years, okay. And explain to people, and this is not really has to do with the impact on your finances, this pandemic, but I don't know if you heard at the top of the show, I was talking about people walking around in masks. Can you just give an oversight as to, you work for a company, and they've been giving you some specific directions on masks and gloves. Can you just give a quick oversight about how they should be used for our listeners?
Yes. I want to start with the gloves. I've seen a lot of people walking around in grocery stores using the gloves. And in healthcare, we use gloves to perform a particular task. And once we finish with that task, we dispose of the gloves. So the problem is of cross-contamination. A lot of people don't understand. They think that they wearing the gloves, that they're safe. But then you're touching the groceries, you're touching the buggy, you're touching the mouse pad for the debit machine, and then you're touching your phone, you're touching your keys, and you're putting them back in your purse or your pocket, and then with those same gloves, you go and touch your steering wheel or touch your car. So if so, there was a bug on any of the things you touch, then you bring it, not only touching everything else, but you're bringing it into yourself. So it's no different than just using your hands. And the reason why we frown upon using the gloves, because people get a false sense of security with wearing the gloves, that they're not as mindful if they didn't have the gloves on. So the most important thing is just sanitizing your hands if you don't have access to soap and water, or if you do have soap and water, just washing your hands. That's going to be the most important thing, and keeping your hands away from your face and sanitizing any surfaces or any knobs, anything that can be touched. That's going to be most important with the gloves. Now with the mask, I've seen a lot of different masks out here. And yes, the CDC has put out a whole bunch of different stuff about what to use with the mask. What I've learned from my executives, I work for Kaiser Permanente, that it was the information was intended mostly for people who have to be in the face of the public, not just for any or everybody. So if you're just riding around in your car, or you're in the park, or you're, you know, away from everybody else, then it's really not necessary for you to wear a mask unless you have some type of asthma or allergies to pollen, because it is pollen season now. But I've seen a lot of people wearing the mask and gloves in their car, and that's really not necessary. And also, if you're going to wear a mask, you have to cover your nose and your mouth. I've seen a lot of people just covering their mouth, but their nose is exposed. Well, we're not, you know, you're breathing through your nose as well. So you need to cover your nose and your mouth. And also, that there's been a lot of talk. I've seen a lot of stuff on social media about different type of face mask. Everybody's designing well, and I sent my dad a detailed outline of the different masks and what they prevent. So maybe he can post it to his page. But the cloth masks do not protect you from virus. So purchasing and wearing these cloth masks is not really protecting you from the virus. However, some people use that stuff for seasonal allergies, which is okay. But if you're using it and you're having this false sense of security because you think you have a mask on, then I just want everybody to know that it does not protect you from the virus. Yes, the CDC sometimes puts out this a whole bunch of information. I personally think that they're trying to backtrack because of what they put out in the beginning. And now that our supplies are becoming limited, the hospitals are having a hard time getting this personal protective equipment, that they're instructing people, okay, it's okay to wear a bandana, but if you're going to be in the public space, like if you're going to go to the grocery store, you work in a grocery store, you work in public service where you're handling a lot of different things and being in front of a lot of different people, no, that does not protect you. However, if you are walking in the streets and you feel that it's more comfortable for you, then that's perfectly fine. But like I say, as long as you're 6 feet away and you're doing the social distancing, then you're not really exposing yourself. And the key factor is what everybody is saying, is that the most important thing is to stay home. The less exposure, the less likely you will contract the virus.
Excellent.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I think you did a great job. I think that it's very important that we have, you know, correct information. And I think during anything like this, you know, you're going to get a lot of information because they're doing on the fly. But what you, the information that you just shared just makes so much sense. So thank you so much, daughter. And don't forget about those Krispy Kreme donuts you were supposed to get me, because they're giving Krispy Kreme donuts to they're giving Krispy Kreme donuts to health workers. So don't forget about your dear old dad. You know, he has a sweet tooth.
Okay.
All right, daughter. Talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
All right. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty good information. So now, where was I? Oh, the retail therapy part. So I have violated what I just shared with you before my daughter came on. I violated my own policy. I went on Amazon. One of my weaknesses is books. And I was first going online to buy some books for some of my young grandkids, and other relatives and stuff, and 5-year-olds. So I went to buy some books for them, and then I got excited and bought some books for myself. But anyway, I'm done now with that. I'm not buying any more books. At least I hope I'm not. But I love to read, and it's a great time to get caught up on something. So now, let's go through, before we get into some of the other financial stuff, some of the things that I think make sense when you're going shopping, because sometimes you're going shopping and, you know, the tendency is buy a whole bunch of stuff, which is great, but you need to have a strategy in mind. Number one, have a list, a grocery list of what you're going to buy. That way you can stay focused on what you need to buy. Be realistic about what you need. So you have to do some meal planning. So for example, if I'm going to make lasagna, I need X, Y, Z, or spaghetti or chicken, you know, so you have some idea what you need to get, and have some idea about, how much of a week's worth of groceries you need. Because remember, you can still go out to get groceries. So don't think you need groceries for 2 weeks. They're not saying you can't go out to get groceries. You just have to be able to go in there and get what you want. Some of the ideas to think about, things that you need to do, and just some thoughts, is that things with a long shelf life, things like dried beans, flour, sugar, baking powder, spices, nuts, coffee, peanut butter, chocolate, that kind of stuff. You know, you want to make sure you get some of those things that are going to stay on the shelf for a while. Then you have the frozen foods type of stuff, vegetables and fruits and meats and frozen pizzas. My wife introduced me to frozen pizzas. I've never had a frozen pizza, believe it or not. I'm a pizza snob because I'm from New York, and there's no better pizza than that comes from New York City. Any New Yorker will tell you that. I don't care. There's a couple of restaurants called New York Style Pizza. They get close, but no cigar. They just get close, about 80%, not 100%. But anyway, so frozen pizza, and it was really good. These pizzas were $5. And so, you know, there's only about four slices in there. You eat two slices a piece and you're done for $5. You can't beat that. You could be at the dinner or lunch or something like that. Also, don't forget about fresh ingredients like cheese and butter and lemons, limes, and milk and eggs and carrots. You know, don't forget about those things. And, you know, you need those, obviously. So those are fresh things. And then, of course, you got the other fresh produce for salads, red peppers, cucumbers, apples, pears, and my favorite, bananas. I love bananas. My wife just made a banana. It was a banana cake. It was a banana bread. That's banana bread. Oh, it was so delicious. Unfortunately, my wife lost the sense of taste, so she couldn't taste it. But man, I'm telling you, it was some good banana bread. Anyway, and then of course the sauces, applesauce, peanut butter, pickles, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, when you're going to the grocery store, the whole mindset is to go in there with a list, go in there with a purpose, and leave your kids at home. Now, I know they want to get out of the house, but you know what kids do. They go down the aisles where the candies are and all that stuff. They start putting it into your cart and create a lot of, you know, stress for you. No, leave them at home and, you know, go do the shopping, get in, get out. Okay? Don't forget, our call-in number is 516-387-1554. 516-387-1554. That's the number to call in if you have a question or a suggestion as we go through this. So let's go back. Remember, to some evaluating your financial situation. So, as I mentioned before, make sure you find out from your HR person, is your job at risk? You know, that's, you know, they may not answer you, but it's a good question to ask. And sometimes how they answer you will tell you a lot about that, right? So make sure you do that. The next thing you want to do is evaluate your expenses. And here you have to embrace something called frugality. Frugality is not being cheap. Cheap is when you don't want to pay for anything. That means you want to get zero. You don't want to put no money into it. That's being cheap. Being frugal means you want to get the best deal. So you want to use coupons. You want to buy during the season when you get the best price. And you obviously want to compare prices to see how much things cost. There are a lot of websites now, if you're doing some online shopping, where they'll let you compare certain items. They may not let you – well, no, there's something like, for example, Best Buy's website. I know, because I just had to buy a speaker for this broadcast, and I selected two or three microphones, and I was able to compare the prices and compare the features. So sometimes you could do that on some of the websites. So making sure you're getting a good deal. You want to be frugal. You want to do a full assessment of your finances. And by that, I mean you have to have a budget, okay? If you don't have a budget, you're just doing yourself, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice. I'm really serious about that. I know perhaps you have a budget on a scratch piece of paper or on some type of spreadsheet. Those days have long been gone. And if you're doing your budget on a paper and pencil, if you're doing your budget on a spreadsheet, then you're doing yourself a disservice. That's just too much work. There's a program that I really enjoy that I've had the pleasure of using for a long time, 10, 12 years now, maybe even longer than that. It's called Quicken. And you've heard the ads. You probably see them pop up in your feed somewhere. And this is a program. It's a great software program. You can get it now. There's all different prices, but right now you can get it on Amazon for $40. And with that price, I don't believe you get the disc, but once you purchase it, it gives you a code and allows you to download the software right directly on your computer. And in less than 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, you could be, you know, putting together a budget. You know, I do have a sample budget. I haven't figured out how to share that, but I tell you what, if you I guess if you're listening, we do have a chat feature on the program. And if you put your email in there on the chat feature, then I will make sure that you get a copy of a sample budget. Okay. But anyway, as I was saying, you can download it on your PC and be working on it in a couple of minutes. And the way the program works is that you log on to your financial institution and you download your transactions so you can categorize them in your budget. Okay, and this is a good time of year to do it because you're only 3 months in, okay, And, you know, you should do your budget on a quarterly basis. And the reason I say that is because every month something comes up. You know, January probably something came up you didn't expect, February. So sometimes your budget, your expenses will fluctuate. So I encourage you to, you know, we just finished with March. So you can download your transactions and do your budget for the month of for the first 3 months of this year. Okay. So get a software, and there's other software programs out there. I just like, you know, Quicken, which is produced by a company called Intuit. You know, they do some tax stuff as well. So here's some questions you can ask yourself to uncover ways to spend less, because there are two things that are sacred in your budget right now: shelter, your place you stay, your rent, your mortgage, and food. Everything else is up for grabs, meaning you might have to take the knife to it and start cutting. Okay. Do you pay for cable or satellite services? Okay. Well, you know, I got rid of all my premium channels, HBO, Showtime, got rid of them, you know, because I wasn't watching them. And so I got rid of them, but I did sign up and have signed up and have had Netflix and Hulu. Right now, Netflix is killing them because you can binge watch a bunch of movies. And right now, with a lot of time on our hands, good thing to do. So now's the time to look at your cable satellite services. In addition to that, we renegotiated our deal with our internet and cable provider and dropped about 30 or 40% on that. So everything's sacred. You may have to switch. Okay, you may have to switch providers, and a lot of them are offering deals and things like that. So this is a great time to do that. And also your internet service. You know, I know a lot of times they bundle those things together. You may have to unbundle them to get the right price that you need. One of the things I need to say, that even with majority of Americans staying at home, I don't know about you, but the internet has pretty much held up pretty good so far. So we have to give a hands off to the internet providers that have worked very hard for the infrastructure that we currently have, which is a great thing. What else can you do? Streaming services you subscribe to, you might want to cut back on some of those. Can you find a less expensive phone plan? You know, you have time, you can research, do some, get in there on the internet and do some research about the different phone plans that are out there. Are you eating carryout instead of making meals at home? Most restaurants are not doing dining. As a matter of fact, I don't think any restaurant is doing dining. I can't speak across the country. I can just speak here in Atlanta, but I'm assuming across the country with a lot of shelter in place orders that have been instituted. So now you're making meals at home. That should be less expensive. You know, once again, the pizza, $5. If you go to a store to buy a pizza, it's going to cost twice, maybe three times as much as that. So this is a great time to get out that cookbook, go online, find some recipes, and start doing stuff and making meals at home. Can you cut food expenses by buying in bulk? Okay, that's important. You know, go to a place like Sam's, BJ's, Costco, and buy in bulk for things that you really need. If you don't have a membership there, this might be the time to get one. So that's something to think about, buying in bulk for the things you do use on a regular basis. Paper plates. Are you using paper plates instead of dishes? Maybe you stop using paper plates and use dishes. That'll save you a little bit of money there. And then look at some of your monthly memberships that come up on your credit card statement or your checking account and say, do I really need that? Do I really need that service? You know, am I paying 30, 40 bucks a month? Do I really need it? And if not, like I said, the only thing that is sacred right now is your food and the place that you're staying. Okay. Now's a good time to look at your gas and electricity bill, you know, and say, hey, is there a way I can get a better deal on the gas bill I have on electricity? You know, so now's the time, you got the time to do it. And you know, I know everybody's watching TV and surfing the internet, but now is a good time to, you know, go in and, you know, and say, let's see how we can make a difference here. So to accurately analyze your finances, before I get into some of the things you can do with mortgages and car payments, the first thing you need to do is look at your household income. This is how much money you take home every month. Okay. Well, before I do that, one of the things you need to look at, you need to do a balance sheet. And as I said, if you DM me, I will be more than glad. If you're on Facebook, if you logged on to Blog Talk Radio, there is a chat feature. If you send me your, you click on that and send me your your email. Make sure you get a copy of these three pages. One is a balance sheet, and then there's two pages, for expenses. All right, we got a couple of callers. Let me click on and bring this caller in. Good evening. You're on the Your Personal Finance with Dr. Charles Ross, and whom I have the pleasure of talking to. Hello?
Priscilla.
Hey,
hello?
Priscilla. That's my sister-in-law.
How are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Good, good. You have a question or a comment?
I do. I do have a question. Well, comment. This has been very enlightening, and I've got some good notes here that I'm taking. And your daughter was amazing. Yeah. Tell her thank you. Her information was great. My question is about when you started talking about the premium channels and your Comcast service and stuff, what if you have contracts with these people and you know, when you try to change it, they always tell you, well, you can't make any changes without paying because you're under contract.
Yeah, and now, you know, with I don't know if you've contacted these companies during this pandemic, but a lot of them are becoming a little bit more flexible. So,
okay.
You know, I'd go to their website, go to their webpage, and see what
mm-hmm.
they say there.
Okay.
And then from there, you'll have information to go and ask them. And some of the things, that they may not let you out of the contract, but if you're challenged right now, you might say, okay, what is your policy in terms of dealing, you know, with this pandemic? And they may say, well, we'll give you suspend your payments for 2, 3, 4 months. I know some internet service providers, Comcast and Xfinity and some of the others, have offered free Wi-Fi. I know, you know, as an educator, they've
right.
done that in a lot of places. So that's something to think about. But, yes, if you have a contract with them, see if there's a way that they can suspend your payments for a little while and see how that. Then you have to, you know, judge how much it's going to cost to get out of the contract and is it worth it, you know, based on if you have another service provider that you want to, you know, secure after this one. But that's a good question. And see, a lot of these companies are going to take part of that $2.2 trillion, which is not, you know, 45's money. It's our money. That's our tax money.
That's
so
our tax
in my view,
money. Correct.
Exactly. And if they're taking that money, they should be providing some relief for their customers. And if they're not, that's not a good thing. So hopefully they'll be doing that, you know. Did
okay.
that help a little bit?
Yes, it did. And the other question, maybe for some of the listeners, my daughter had a good question today. She was like, Mommy, when we get that stimulus check, are we supposed to pay tithe on it? And I told her yes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So what are your
thoughts
on that? That's
well,
right. Any income
yeah,
you're supposed
income.
To pay tithe on.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I've heard that the income, the stimulus checks are not going to be included as income. So you're not going to pay taxes on it. So that's another
right.
incentive that you can to go ahead and tithe and give an offering to the church in that behalf. And the balance of that, whatever is left over, you should go ahead and put in a savings account, you know,
yes.
And save it
yes.
because once again, we don't know how long. So even though your job might be safe now, you don't know what's going to happen in 3, 4 months if we're still in the middle of this. Which some
exactly.
Infectious disease experts have said, this thing might be going on for 6, 12 months. And I can't even think about the society we'll be in if that's the case. But we'll see.
And then they're talking about a reoccurrence.
Exactly. You know, that's the reason why, you know, you should do that. And I'm going to give you some insight in a little bit on car payments and mortgage payments and rent and that kind of thing coming up in a little bit that I think might help some people and give some relief to what's going on right now.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Charles.
Thank you, Priscilla. And I know you wanted some of that banana bread. I wish I could mail you
yes.
some, but your sister put a foot in that thing. That thing was good.
I know. It looked good. When you sent the picture, I was like, I could use that with a
good.
Cup of coffee right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do it with some Cool Whip.
Oh, that's my husband, Cool Whip. He loves Cool
oh,
Whip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Cool Whip. We had a pound cake that we bought, and Cool Whip and pound cake. That's some good stuff.
Yes.
And some strawberries.
Yes. Hey, yes. We have one of those bundt cake places here now.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yes. So thank you all for letting us know about it. And they're always, they sell like the little miniature ones. That's what we're into since we're diabetic. So we're trying to be wise and just eat the little ones. But, yes, I'm glad you guys told us about it. So now we go there and get our little bundt cakes.
Awesome. Those things are dangerous. I mean, they are so good.
They
are. So be careful with them.
Yes.
All right, Priscilla. Enjoy the best
All right. Evening. Love you. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
You're
All
welcome.
Right. Bye-bye.
Hello, Paul. Are you there?
516.
Hello.
387.
1554. Hello. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Whom I have the pleasure of talking to on your personal finance with Dr. Charles Ross. How you doing?
Is that the number you dialed?
Yeah. Who am I talking to?
I just hit that number.
Well, you have you have to listen on your phone and not on what's coming through the radio. I'm at the radio or your internet. Well, hopefully they'll call back because one of the things when you call, just like calling any radio station, if you call the radio station, say you're listening to it on your computer and you call here, it's going to be feedback. So you got to stop listening to, say, if it's on your computer because it's not on the radio because this is not a radio station. So you got to make sure that you you mute your if you're on your computer and just listen through your phone. Okay. All right. We have another caller. Yes, you're on your personal finance with Dr. Ross. How are you? Hello.
Hey. Hello, how are you doing, Dr. Ross? This is Ezekiel.
Hey, Mr. Johnson, what's going on, man?
Not so much. How are you?
I'm doing mighty fine, mighty fine. You enjoying your spring break?
Yeah, as much as I can right now. You know I'm out of town.
Oh, that's right. You left already.
Yeah, I'm actually flying back tomorrow. But I had a couple questions. First of all, I want to say I'm enjoying the show so far. I learned a lot.
Okay.
So I got a couple questions. Over the couple of years, I've been investing in different stocks and also with Bitcoin. I know diversification is a great tool to use in these times. Do you think at this point, because the stock market is going up and down, and same thing when it comes to cryptocurrency, you think might be a great time to up my precious metal collection as far as gold and silver?
Well, you know, during calamities like now, if you've been following gold, gold generally goes up when you have economic issues like that. So if you've been following gold, might be trending up. Now, stocks in general, you know, have taken a pretty much a beating. And so this is a time probably to go in and start buying some stocks that you may have had on your list that you couldn't buy because the price was up. But now they're down 10, 15, 20%. You know, now would be a good time to get in. Now, the Bitcoin thing I'm not familiar with that much, and I got to get up to speed on it. But with gold, generally gold rises in any, you know, economic, you know, calamity like we're having right now. And so the price might be getting up, you know, in terms of being able to buy it at a price that you can, you know, can really afford. Are you seeing the price going up a little bit on gold?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I was wondering. And in the stocks, I was actually I just added some more money to my stocks because I saw those were going down. I figured that at some point it's going to turn up. You know, it's a bull in the bear market, and eventually it's going to turn up. So I was trying to buy while the stocks were still kind of low, to ensure that I was going to have some kind of maximum gain once the, you know, turnaround comes through.
And, you know, and you mentioned a thing that's really interesting is because the way that the folks, the rich folks make money is that when everybody else is selling, they're buying. Okay.
Exactly.
And so right now people are selling because they're panicking and that runs the stock market, but it takes a lot of guts. And it sounds like you have them that to go in there and buy when everybody else is selling. So yeah, now's the time to get in and start buying. A lot of stocks are, you know, priced at levels that you couldn't buy them 5, 10 years ago, you know? So now's a good time to get in and start buying, you know, especially when it with dividend reinvestment plans, where you could buy, you know, I don't know if you have buying stocks through a broker or dividend reinvestment plans where you can buy them. You know, we may do a show on that because that's a good way to buy stocks, where you buy one stock and you sign up for the dividend reinvestment plans, and you can buy stocks directly through the company and not necessarily through a broker, and you know, bypass a lot of fees, and you can build a portfolio that way. Yeah.
Definitely. I would love to get some more information. But, you know, working with students at Price Middle School definitely have given me the guts for a lot of things. So.
It gives you a lot of courage, doesn't it?
absolutely. Well, thank you again for giving me information.
Yeah, that's a show we might need to do in terms of, you know, keeping it on a financial level. How is education going to be transformed by what we're doing with this distant learning that we're going through right now? Because I'm sure there are entrepreneurs trying to say, okay, how am I going to take advantage that now that people have experienced online learning? I mean, when I say people, I'm talking about students. I'm talking K-12, where, you know, mostly college students experience. So how is that going to change the workforce and what opportunities there are from an investment standpoint to take advantage of that? So, yeah, we got to think about that.
Yeah, the rose is off the bloom, so it's time to make it happen. But thank you again. It was very informational, and I continue to listen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, man. All right. Have a good spring break. Yeah, that's Mr. Johnson. He's a good brother, man. He's just real solid, works with some of our at-risk kids at the school we're at, and he does a really good job with them. He really does. You got to have a heart when you're working in a turnaround situation like we're in at the school that we work in. And when I say at-risk kids, I'm talking about kids that are experiencing extreme generational poverty and everything that comes with that. But that's a conversation for another day that we can have. So as I was sharing, if you do want to get a copy of this sample budget, well, it's actually just some categories, really, and percentages. So we got about 12 minutes left in this broadcast, so I want to try to get through this. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to save this for another day, and actually maybe this weekend I'll conduct what I call my financial planning workshop, which is based on one of the books I've wrote. It'll give me time to kind of go more deeply into this. I don't want to rush through it because I'm sure people are going to have some questions about it. And so I want to make sure that, you know, we have that opportunity, you know, to do that. All right. So let me just talk about, that's going to be for another day. Let's talk about some of the things you can do. Once again, if you want to call in and have questions, I thank my daughter and thank Mr. Johnson, Ezekiel, for calling in and sharing. Our call-in number is 516-387-1554. And I'll repeat it, 516-387-1554. I want to go through a couple of things that is important that I think you tuned in for. Is that if you have a mortgage, a lot of companies, financial institutions are taking this $2.2 trillion stimulus package. And what you should contact your mortgage company and ask them what are they going to do in terms of forbearance. And what that means is that are they going to let you skip some payments? Some financial institutions are allowing you to skip payments up to 4 to 6 months. But here's the catch, okay? If you skip those payments, okay, they're going to tag whatever that amount is on the back end, and then that whole amount generally is going to be due at some point. And they'll spell that out. Every financial institution is different. We're going to try to reach out to some of these financial institutions. I'm going to try to do this broadcast at least twice a week, maybe Mondays and Wednesdays. I may do it every day if I get excited about it, because I'm on spring break next week and I can't go anywhere. I'm going to drive my wife crazy. So I got to have I got enough stuff to do, but I'm enjoying this. Anyway, so we may get some actually specific information and then post that and let people understand that. But anyway, so if your mortgage company gives you forbearance and says, let's say your mortgage payment is $1,000 a month, and they say, okay, we're going to let you suspend your payments for 4 months. That's $4,000 they're going to tag that $4,000 on the back of your mortgage. And at some point, it may be after this pandemic is over, I don't know, that that whole amount's going to be due. Okay? So, you know, that might be not feasible for a lot of people. But if you need the relief right now, then if you're unemployed and you're laid off and you don't want to have to pay that mortgage, you know, every month, then you deal with it. And then I think a lot of them are saying also that at the end of that forbearance period, they still might work with you. Okay. So, but you want to get on the phone and talk to them, because a lot of times on the websites, it's not very clear in terms of what they're asking. If there's any questions with that, 516-387-1554 is the number to call. Now, on your car loan, a lot of financial institutions are allowing you to skip payments, sometimes as many as 4 to 6 months. Now, what they'll do is that they'll just tag that on and say you'll owe some extra payments. I would recommend, and this is my opinion, I would recommend that if you're in a situation where you're not quite sure of the situation that you're going to be in, that you go and get that, you know, that suspension of your payments. But what I would do is take that money and set it aside in a savings account. The only reason you're going to use it if you face financial difficulty. And I mean financial difficulty, meaning that you lost your job and you need that money to pay two things, food or shelter. Okay, a place to stay. It means your mortgage payment or your rent. Is everybody clear with that? You have any questions? 516-387-1554. Very important. When this is over, okay, since they tagged those payments on the back, so let's say you had 40 payments, you skip four payments. They're going to say now you got 44 payments. So what you can do with that money when we get on the other side of this pandemic is that you can now then make principal payments, right, directly on that car payment, and that will lower your interest that you charge and the period of time that you're dealing with it. Does that make sense? All right. So I want to make sure everybody's clear on that. Once again, I have, for those people that follow me on Facebook, I posted the link to get in. I hope some people have been able to take advantage of it. One thing that's going to happen is that this broadcast is going to be saved, so you can go back and listen to it later on. I'll post it on my Facebook page. And for those who are listening, like I said, no one's made any comment. We have a chat feature on this in this broadcast, and you can make comments in there as well. So those are two things: mortgage payment and your car payments. Okay, got about 7 minutes left, so let me see some other things we want to discuss. And let's put some numbers to that. So let's say you have a $1,000 mortgage, and let's say your car payment is $500 a month. That's $1,500 that you're not going to have to pay right now. Okay. Only do that if you have to. But I would say with the car payment, I would do that anyway just to give you some relief, because you're not going to get any late fees and they're not going to report you to the credit bureau. And that's a good thing. Okay? All right. So that's some good money. So you think $1,500 times four, what's that? Three. That's $6,000 over the next 4 months you can save. Can you use $6,000 to put aside for savings? Obviously, it's something to think about. Let's see. What other categories? We talked about, my daughter had asked a question about student loans, and there was some discussion on the stimulus package that they were going to allow folks that have student loans to cancel about $10,000 worth of student loan debt. And I'm going to dig into that. You know, they just approved it just a couple of days ago, so I'm going to dig into that and perhaps do another broadcast on that alone, or as well as some other things. But and getting some information from some of these financial institutions, what they're doing, some of the big ones like Bank America, Wells Fargo, Chase, you know, what are these big companies are doing in terms of for their customers. But one of the things that came out, I know that they said that they're going to suspend interest payments on student loans. And, you know, it's nice. It's not going to be a big, you know, saving you a lot of money, you know, but we'll take it, you know, so make sure you take advantage of that. And then any type of private loans that you have outside of the ones that are backed by the government, that you might want to contact them and find out exactly, you know, what are your options in terms of that. Utility companies, I mentioned that they're not cutting off services for those who not paid their bills. So that's something to kind of take advantage of. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, better known as HUD, has announced a nationwide eviction and foreclosure moratorium, including foreclosures already in progress. So that's something good to know. As I mentioned, federal student loans can be placed in administrative forbearance, which, you know, allows you to temporarily stop making monthly loan payments. Someone can do that. You know, like I said, every situation is different. So you need to make sure that you contact your borrower, make sure what you can do and what you can't do. And then, of course, the IRS has extended the federal income tax filing deadline to July 15th of 2020, and so this year. So they're delaying that. I assume that the state of Georgia and other states will probably follow suit with that, and we'll see what's going to happen with that. So we got about 3 or 4 minutes left. I'll be more than glad to take a call, 516-387-1554. And one of the things, you know, with this show, I did this show, this program aired for about 5 years on WAOK here in Atlanta. My vignettes, you know, that matter of fact, I may get a chance to play. No, I'm not going to get a chance to play one of them. Matter of fact, I am going to play one of them because if you just tuned in, you didn't hear it. It's about 2 minutes long, and but this one particular and others that I did one for 20 years, aired on about 100 stations around the country, locally aired on V103 and on WAOK 1380 AM. And so I'm going to play in the last 2 minutes the vignette so you get a chance to see what that sounds like. Plus also, if you're on Facebook, this show on every day, maybe for an hour, maybe in 30 minutes, or 2 or 3 times a week. You know, I'm open to that. And so, let me know. So at this juncture, I'm going to play a segment of Your Personal Finance. It's very timely because I didn't know this when I played this program, but it was very timely in terms of the subject matter. So here you go. Give a listen.
Your wallet is a little short, but the bills keep coming. Financial strategies when money is tight on today's Your Personal Finance.
When you want to cruise with the best, do it Jeep style. Now let's go. Drop your top in the Wrangler. That's nice. In my world, affordability and versatility have become my classic Cherokee style. And oh, baby, come on. I said, come on. Get comfortable and experience my mellow grooves and oh, so mellow moves in the new Grand Cherokee 5.9 Limited. Now, if you want to roll with me, buy your own Jeep. There's only one.
Jeep is a registered trademark of Chrysler Corporation.
If you are having money troubles, which bills should you pay first? Here are some guidelines. Pay your rent and mortgage, then your utility bills and insurance. When it comes to your car loan or lease, miss a payment and you'll hear from the lender or leaser within 10 days. But if you don't pay up after 60 days, expect the company to take measures to have your car repossessed. With credit cards, if you don't make the minimum payment within 5 days of the due date, expect form letters every couple of weeks requesting payment. If you don't make a payment, they will suspend your charge privileges. Keep in mind, car loans and credit card payment histories will be reported to the credit bureau and will impact your ability to get future loans. It's always wise to try to work out a repayment schedule in advance. For Your Personal Finance, I'm Charles Ross.
Well, there you have it. I've got about 30 seconds left, and I have an archive of hundreds of shows that I've done. I've saved them all, and I'll be going through my archive and excuse me, I'm going through my archive and and offering up some of those things in the near future. So give me some feedback on Facebook, and if you know me personally, give me a text. Let me know how you've liked it and things that you'd like me to cover. With that being said, we're going to go out with our theme song, Barry Wright and Rhapsody in White.